Carried ahead.
Okay. We'll call to order the Town of Kiri Beach Historical Preservation Commission for Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. First item on the agenda is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Next item is public comment. Now, we do have an additional item later on, a COA. So this is public comment not related to that. So if anybody has public comment, that would be fine. This is the time to do it. Okay. Not hearing any, we'll close the public comment. The next item is the quasi-judicial hearing. The certificate of appropriateness submitted by Jim Batham, LLC. Okay. So again, we have a number of things that we have to go through for this. So I'm going to start the order of business related to the certificate of appropriateness hearing. Some things that I need to read here. This is a hearing before the Kiri Beach Historic Preservation Commission under Town of Kiri Beach Code of Ordinance, hereafter KBC, section 15.08.080.C on the application for certificate of appropriateness submitted by Jim Batham LLC, the applicant, for the property located at 126 North 3rd Avenue, Kiri Beach, North Carolina. That is within the town's downtown preservation overlay district. The application seeks a COA for exterior alterations to an existing structure, including constructing a fence, replacing the garage doors, repairing the driveway, replacing the structure's front and rear doors, installing exterior lighting and landscaping. And this is all identified as the project. We do have some instructions for the commission members. The first instruction is, in making factual determinations, commission members may only consider competent, material, and substantial evidence. Second, non-expert opinion testimony related to diminution or decrease of property values and traffic safety issues may not be considered in making findings of fact. Now, the commission, this is number three, the commission shall make findings of fact based upon the design standards for Kiri Beach Downtown Preservation District, hereafter called the design standards, and the review criteria set forth in KBC 15.08.120.K. Under KBC 15.08.120.J4, the commission's findings shall indicate the extent to which the proposed exterior features of the project are, under the design standards, compatible and harmonious with the other exterior features within the district in terms of scale and design. Based upon its findings, the commission shall, in open session, vote to approve with conditions, or deny the application. Okay.
Before we get there, let's go back to page one for a minute. We've got some new people on the commission. I just want to make sure that we kind of understand the bottom line. The bottom line is you're not concerned with use. You're not concerned with what happens to the size of the structure. Your focus is entirely on the exterior features that the chairman read out that were going to be altered. And even though we're going to go through a lot of design standards, the crux of the matter is what is being proposed as changes to those exterior features needs to be consistent with and harmonious with the rest of how that neighborhood looks. And you can't substitute your own expertise. You have to rely on the evidence for that. So on the design, and when we get done with the hearing, there'll be a decision worksheet that we'll walk through together, which will help you make the findings of fact. And based on those findings, you'll reach a conclusion based on the conclusion of the decision that's called by the So on page two, standards and review criteria. 4.1a is probably the most important, and it's gone through some changes since the town established that district. The erection, alteration, restoration, or relocation of any exterior feature within the district should be consistent with the look and aesthetics of the town's character and appearance as a family coastal community that was primarily developed in the decades following the Second World War. Exterior features should be harmonious with other exterior features within the district in terms of scale and design. Inappropriate modernist or expressionist architectural design elements include, but are not limited to, predominant glass elements, glossy materials, round window features, exposed steel elements, broad roofs, or exaggerated window panels. Those are inconsistent with the coastal community. Now, you can digress for a minute. You've got design standards separately with you up there, but the board of business also includes them, so it may be more convenient during the hearing to refer to your order of business. We'll be walking through that step by step. 4.1D, towards the bottom of page 2, colors should be consistent and harmonious with the neighborhood. For example, there should not be any pattern color design often associated with franchise operation, nor should there be any striped or banded coloring. C, building facade should be simple and not consist of multiple sizes. Oversized roofs should be avoided. D, design features including windows and doors should be normal scale. No single architectural feature of an exterior feature should dominate the appearance of the building or structure. Turning to page 3, in the siding COA applications, and I'll say COA for a certificate of appropriateness. I had to say it for so many years that you're not going to change me. That's what I'm going to call it. In deciding COA applications, the use of the property and the interior arrangements of the subject building structure shall not be considered. Nothing, I don't think it's applicable. F, nothing in these standards shall be interpreted or construed as preventing or restricting the authority to erect buildings to a height of 35 feet above ground level. Now, they're making alterations to an existing structure, and it's my understanding that existing structure will have a commercial use, which doesn't influence or affect your decision making in this project, but it does get you to 4.2, which is design standards that have for commercial buildings. A, new and renovated commercial buildings shall be designed with an architectural scale consistent and harmonious with the neighborhood, and shall utilize details and elements which contribute to integrating the structure into the character of the site and surrounding property. B, new and renovated commercial buildings shall be designed so that a pedestrian's experience of the district's unique character is maintained. C, there should be no drive-through, curbside, or takeout operational services. D, exterior features within the district shall not contain commercially oriented architectural features such as McDonald's, Golden Arches, for example. E, is it not applicable, right? It deals with K Avenue. F, the signage for all commercial buildings within the district shall be exterior lit only, provided that small open window signs are permitted. And those are the design standards that you need to apply to this particular application. At the bottom of page 3, it begins to set out the review criteria that is built into the regulations. The review criteria are simply the tools you apply to make sure or to determine whether the proposed alterations are consistent and harmonious. They're not design standards by themselves. They are what you should look for and consider in determining compliance with the design standards. For example, in that first criteria, it's not the intent of these regulations to require reconstruction or restoration. Number 2, in determining an application for a COA, the commission shall consider the historic and or architectural significance of the building, the exterior form and appearance of the proposed changes thereto, and the effect of proposed changes would have upon the other buildings and structures within the district. Number three, the commission should make no requirement except to prevent work that is incongruent. I will say that you have the authority to recommend reasonable conditions if you grant a COA and you feel such conditions are necessary. We'll get to that towards the end of the hearing. Applicants shall consult the design standards which will be utilized. Number five, the commission shall the following criteria you're going to consider: setbacks, lot coverage, yard, orientation, position of the structure, material, surface textures and patterns, they're important. Architectural details, likewise important. All these are important. Roof shapes, forms, features, and materials, portion shapes, positions, and patterns of doors and windows, the general form and proportions of the building and structures, afferent features, including walls and fences. Recall that the construction of the fence is one of the proposed alterations in this particular project. I'll be appearing in an advisory capacity to the board, not as an advocate for the party. Chairman, up to you now on page 5, number 5 at the top.
Okay, this is where we poll each one of the commission members. Each commission member shall state verbally whether a conflict of interest exists due to either direct financial benefit, bias, or fixed opinion, undisclosed outside contacts, or a close family or commercial association. Should such a conflict exist, the commission member shall recuse himself or herself from the hearing, and the commission shall excuse that member from voting on the matter. So we'll just go ahead and start down at that end and poll the members verbally. Are there any conflicts?
No conflict of interest.
No conflict of interest.
Okay, I don't have any conflict of interest.
No conflict.
No conflict.
Okay.
I'll take number 6, participating in the hearing. I'm not sure that would be relevant in this issue or in this matter, but there are two ways to participate in the hearing. One is as an individual making general comments about the project. The chair and the commission have the authority to not allow such people to speak. On the other hand, they also have the authority to allow them to speak and put reasonable limitations on such comments. That's particularly relevant for red flag issues, controversial projects, groups of people opposing proposed development. But the real feature, and this is a quasi-judicial hearing, that means that the application is decided on the basis of the evidence produced. It does not appear that this is a project is opposed. We'll find out during the hearing. But if it was and you get evidence from both sides, it's your job to weigh the evidence and the credibility of that evidence and to make your findings of fact. But the important part of a quasi-judicial hearing, which is a constitutional right, which therefore the commission cannot violate, would be subject to being overruled in the Superior Court review, is the fact that there's due process rights, both for opponents and for the applicant. Now, in order to exercise those rights, which include cross-examining witnesses, objecting to evidence, rebutting arguments, those are the rights that are accorded to the parties participating in the hearing, and certainly the applicant has that standing to do so. That question really becomes relevant when somebody else that's not with the applicant maintains that they want to cross-examine or present evidence or object to evidence, but they cannot do so unless they have standing. The rest of page 5, starting in the middle, any person meeting any of the following criteria, that's the list of what entitles somebody to claim they have standing. And you'll see that the applicant fits in perfectly with A, has an ownership interest in the property. The comments that I've been making are focused on the last criteria for standing, which is on the top of page 6, subpart F. I'm sorry, not subpart F. That's, let's go back to page 5, I think it's subpart E. It's D. Any other person who will suffer special damages as a result of the decision being appealed. Somebody wants, example, somebody wants to build a campground. The campground is opposite a residential structure across the street. The residential structure is very upset, doesn't like that campground at all. If they can prove through expert testimony that the development of that campground will hurt their property values, those are damages that are unique to that person and not to the neighborhood in general. They have standing. Likewise, if you have traffic safety issues that would affect one, that would affect particular residents and property owners as compared to the whole neighborhood, those are special damages. So when you got somebody other than the applicant that's trying to participate in the hearing as a party, in order to cross-examine, object to evidence, or rebut arguments, they need to have standing. Nine times out of ten, it comes down to the question of whether they have special damage or not the regular type of damage. Chairman, up to you now.
Okay. So we're at a point where we're going to start the testimony. Again, you heard the standards for having standing. There is, since this is a quasi-judicial meeting, we do have an oath for those who will be testifying. Do we want to use the Bible or just do the oath?
We'll do it for anyone that's testifying if they want to put their hand on the Bible.
Okay, very good.
They don't have to.
Okay, so. We can do it. How many people will be testifying? I think there's just three people then. Okay, if you want, please put your hand on the Bible. Raise your right hand then. Okay, and repeat after me. I swear to tell the truth.
I swear to tell the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth, so help me God.
And nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Okay, very good. And I will just double check. Is there anybody else who does plan on testifying? No. Okay. So the very first person will be our town clerk, Ms. Chase.
Exhibit 1 is the application for the COA. Exhibit 2 is the drawing I received. Exhibit 3 is the notice of the hearing. Exhibit 4 is the mailed notice. Exhibit 5 is the posted notice. And Exhibit 6 was the email that was sent last night or yesterday afternoon to the applicant and to the board.
Okay. Very good. All right. The next person will be the applicant who will present evidence in support of the application. Again, go ahead and state who you are, your address, you know, all that sort of thing, too. Okay, very good.
And for the record, this is Exhibit
Thanks,
7.
Yes. I have four more of them.
My name is Tim Bryson, 1852 Banking Street, Greensboro, North Carolina. And my business partner is John Carter Hagen, 506 Country Club, Greensboro, North Carolina. I thank you all for taking your time to do this. I'm going to give you some background, although this is architecturally driven, I'm going to give you some background to both of us so you'll know who we are and what we're trying to do. I'm a resident of Greensboro, North Carolina, and I own an interior and exterior design business. I jokingly tell people you wouldn't know me, but you know the projects that I've worked on. I did all the renovations for the Fresh Market grocery stores. Fresh Market's based in Greensboro. Kit Kat Jacks, Nanny Greens. I worked for the Bostic Brothers. They're professional football players. They built commercial student housing all over the East Coast in Virginia, South Carolina. I've done multiple houses in Wrightsville Beach, Figure Eight, the Landfall. I worked on Chris Daughtry, the singer's house, and I work for Richard Childress, the race car driver. John, he is my business partner. He graduated from NC State with civil engineering and business management. He currently owns a house that was built in 1847 in Bedford, Virginia, that's on the historic register. And the gentleman that built the house in 1847 was Thomas Jefferson's best friend. I just finished a renovation in Greensboro of a house that was built in 1919, and it was 15,000 square feet, and it's on the National Historic Register. So we both are familiar with design standards, architectural significance, and making sure that it is cohesive with the neighborhood and the surroundings. John has owned two different businesses. He owns a power plant and a recycling plastics company. He also has properties in Davis, North Carolina, Core Banks, and in Bedford. How we got to this, at the end of COVID, I met a woman here in town, and this is irrelevant to what we're asking for, but I met a woman here in town who invited me to come to Curry Beach. I had not been to Curry Beach in my life. I didn't even know where it was. We grew up and went to Wright School and never ventured any further down. Fell in love with the town. Found this building and went on the market one morning during COVID, at the end of COVID. And so we bought it. And I had grand plans for what we wanted to do. We told with having rentals or Airbnbs. Honestly, I don't really want to rent to people, so we scrapped that idea. But we decided that we wanted to have some kind of gathering place. John and I both have traveled to Australia at different times, and when I was in Australia for a month, there was a little gathering place in a little town almost comparable to Curry Beach. And at the end of every day, neighbors would all load their kids and family up, and they would go and they would gather at this gathering place. And I thought that would be cool to have something like that here in Curry Beach. So we want to open a wine and cheese shop. We're not a bar. The state has us registered as a mercantile and a bottle shop. It's a whole different classification from a retail store, from a bar. We're not a restaurant. We're not going to be cooking, making, baking, toasting, frying. We're not doing any of that. We're not going to have any neon signs. We're not putting banners, balloons, flags. We're not doing any of that. It's basically going to be a wine tasting bar. We're going to have craft beers. We're going to have some liquor slushies. I know, but vino slushies, that's a fancy word for it. And we want a place that people can feel comfortable and come and have a glass of wine. If you take your family member or if you're celebrating a party for a birthday or graduation, it's a place that you don't have to stay at home, that you can come to us. We've also applied for a delivery liquor license. During COVID, law was passed that you can deliver liquor as long as it's contained, not bottles of liquor, but drinks or beer. So we're going to have a delivery service. So if you're at your home and you don't want to get in the car and drive, we can deliver to you. We're going to have charcuterie, and my grandmother called it cheese and crackers, but charcuterie is a fancy word. We're going to have charcuterie, we're going to have some pastries, and we're going to have cheesecake in the evenings. By being in design, I'm very cognizant of the neighborhood. I've stayed in the neighborhood multiple times in an Airbnb there in the neighborhood, right across the street, actually. We're going to use low voltage lighting as accessory lighting around the building. Our sign is going to be very small and next to the door. And this may sound odd to you all, but people are like, well, how are people going to find you? They'll find me. If they want to find me, they'll find me. But I don't want it to infringe on the neighborhood and the environment of the neighborhood. So I've made some, in design, I tell my clients, most people are not visionaries, 95% of life is copied, 5% is original. So I find pictures to show my clients, this is what we're going to do, and it's a lot easier to copy something versus create something, as sad as that may be. So I've made a little booklet to show you kind of the guidelines to what we're trying to do visually that will affect the neighborhood and us architecturally. The first page is kind of the mock-up logo, if you look at the book that I gave you.
Mr. President,
yes, sir.
I should have told the commission that anytime you have any questions for Mr. Bryson or any of the witnesses, you're encouraged to ask those questions.
Okay, thank you. So we don't have to wait to the end. We can ask questions
as you're going.
As we're going. Okay, very good.
It's kind of a mock-up of what it looks like, what we want to do. Then if you open to the second page, it shows you our physical location of where we're at here in Curie Beach. Because we're located commercially, but also there's a mix of residential. Again, I am big on aesthetics. I want my neighbors to be continuing to be my neighbors, but I also do not want to create an environment that this is going to be a commercial type place that you would go. I want it to look aesthetically pleasing to the neighborhood. Currently, the building, if you flip the page to where it shows the garage. The garage, we were told it was built in 1961. When we took possession of it, when we bought it, it literally was a teardown. But because I'm old school and wanted to bring it back to life, it would have cost us a lot less to build something at this point, we've realized. But we wanted to renovate it and keep it. So it is actual footprint of what it was. From what we understand, we built it to keep his Boston Whaler boats in. It's a three-bay garage on the front. There's one bay on the back. But if you look at the garage at the next page, it's white. It shows you what its current state is in. If you flip the page, when we first did the architectural renderings, it shows you kind of an architectural, and I'm sorry I didn't number these, but it shows you kind of what the architect drew, what it would look like. The most realistic, we did an AI rendering recently, and this is going to be almost identical to what it looks like. You'll find it in your book.
Okay, I'm just a tad confused right now. So. After the two pictures that show the existing structure, you've got two that are kind of orangish or brownish or whatever.
That's the architectural rendering.
Okay, this is not what you're proposing.
This look is what we're proposing, but this was architecturally drawn early on.
Okay.
So if you flip over.
So the one that's white with the brown windows,
that's what.
That's the AI rendering. Please, one person at a time.
I'm sorry?
One person at a time.
But I should have mentioned that we do have a court reporter here, and so like typical court, we should not talk over each other.
Sorry about that. But this is an AI rendering, which is more conceptual and factual to what the building is factually going to look like.
Okay. Thank you.
Front and back. Yes, sir. Now, on the front of the building, we're planning to put, I've spoken to, it currently has three garage doors that are white and rusted. So we were going to change those out to a glass door with a matte 3M film. So it will not show or glare or shine or show anything. You still can see through it, but we want it to look like a door, a closed door. It'll be powder-coated trim. It'll have a teak door in the front, and then there'll be a teak door in the back. It'll be a single door in the back, and then the front door will have two side lights. It shows here that there are brick pavers, but if you flip over a couple pages, you'll see, again, I apologize for not having these numbers, but you'll see a herringbone brick. And I have a client in Charleston, we just did this for her driveway. We were going to do the driveway in the front with the herringbone brick in the front. Now, most of the neighborhood just has regular concrete that's white or gravel. We wanted to make it look a little bit higher end looking. So therefore, we were going to use an old brick paver and do the brick pavers in front of the door. I put some pictures in here of some teak furniture that will go out back. That's not really conducive to the architectural part of it, but it kind of shows you we do want to put a fence up. We want to put some planter beds around the fence line with some low voltage lighting. Because we're serving charcuterie, we would like to grow like basil and some things that you can add to the charcuterie board. But again, we're not a bar. This is not a restaurant. It's not a fast food joint. We basically want to create an environment that people can come and hang out, have a glass of wine or a beer, and or if they have a party. We're going to have points of egress and degress in the back. We're going to have a gate on either side of the building. It's narrowed in there, so having accessibility in case of a fire and an emergency is important. We need gates on either side, and then we're going to put a double opening gate at the very back of the property in the gate to where the property is accessible.
I had a question.
Sure.
On the fencing.
Yes, sir.
Is this on that last page? Is that the color of the fence that you're planning to use?
No, it is not. We've used the furniture and the front doors. If you look at the furniture, it's a teak wood.
Mm-hmm.
We stained it a little bit darker. What we were planning on probably doing is doing an unfinished fencing. Because of the weathering here, you see a lot of coastal properties and fencing and wood that has weathered and turned gray. That's probably what we're going to do, so it will look conducive to other woods that you see around.
All right, because you know the predominant color of the fence in that district is white.
Okay.
Whether it be PVC or wood. There is some gray weather that's down along Fort Fisher.
Yes, sir.
But this would be a color that you have on here now that would not, in my opinion, be acceptable.
Yeah, we thought about white, but because the building is now white, it used to be a future green, but it's now white. If you do the fence white from a design standpoint, and I'm not an expert, I just play one on TV, but the building's going to be white if we did the fence white, because we originally did expect the fence as being white. If we don't stain it the color, it's going to look stark, and you're going to have nothing but one big white mass. From an aesthetic standpoint, we are going to have plant material. We're going to use lower plant material that stays green, that's conducive to this zone. We don't want to put something back there that's going to attract a lot of bees and insects, because you're going to be sitting out there having a glass of wine swatting bees all day long, and that's not going to work. But we're trying to marry it all together to where if you do go have a beer or a glass of wine with your family or a friend or whatever, it's going to be calming.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Chairman, I got a couple of questions, if I may.
Sure.
So I want to make sure, and let me ask this question first. What is your drawing show that is not in the boundary?
I'm sorry, say that.
You got a drawing?
Yes, sir.
What does that show?
So basically what we've done on the drawings is we've used some of the same pictures that I've given you in this booklet form. Because I started working on this 3 years ago, and again, this information is irrelevant too, and I wish I had it already open or had seen you all a lot sooner. Both of my parents acquired cancer within 6 months of each other, and I lost them in the past 18 months. So my life kind of got put on hold. So did this project. But now that we've started back up, it basically shows you, so some of the pictures and then part of the drawing of the interior. And you're more than welcome. I'll give this to you all. You all can keep a look it over. But the interior mostly of it, and then the exterior in the backyard of where we're proposing putting some of the plant material.
Let me jump in for a minute. Would it be fair to say that Exhibit 2 includes elevations for the front?
That's correct, yeah. Exhibit 2 is included in their agenda package.
Right, I'm just trying to make sure the commission knows what the people are
doing.
Is what you've got an example of what I've got?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
I'm starting on the left-hand side, Appendix B. And I'll pass this up to the commission in a minute. What is Appendix B? Send the building code summary for all commercial projects. Can you tell me what Appendix B is showing?
I cannot.
It looks like it identifies building code provisions that apply to that.
We had a local architect in Wilmington draw this for us.
Jim, can you please talk into the microphone? Your heart is over here. Thank you.
So I see building code summary. And then one column over to the right, I see fire protection requirements, life safety system requirements bringing down, type of unit, and it's got a proposed elevation for the front, and shows the existing, shows the location, which you've already shown.
This is Exhibit 2 you're looking at?
Yeah, that's the same one that we have.
Yeah, this is Exhibit 2, I believe, in our packet. But I don't think that's printed off. I think it's full in here.
We just got this. No, I'm here. Yeah. I understand you correctly and say that the fence would be out of wood.
Yeah, it's all this thing.
What color did you say it would be?
Either natural or some kind of lighter stain.
And it's a wooden fence color.
That's correct.
Replacing the garage doors, what you're proposing shows up in the elevation.
Yeah, look at this room.
Yes,
yeah,
this room. Yes, sir, that's
everything
right.
Is here, but
preparing
they just put it
on the that's referring to the herringbone.
It's this whole thing.
Yes, sir, that's right.
These are for rented, right?
Front rear doors,
and all they give is a print on this.
That's the front, yes, sir.
I don't know if it matters, but he says that the proof that you could go up to 65 feet high. I don't think it matters.
We're
so going up to 2.
You can go up to 35, you can't go to 65.
Just wanted to get that into the record, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions? I mean, the only question that I have really is just a clarification about the exterior paint. Because again, I'm kind of struggling in terms of your answer regarding that picture.
That was an architectural.
I understand that. I just wonder why it's in the packet. Because what I'm hearing is that this is a more appropriate rendition of what you're proposing.
Yes, that's correct. So basically what we tried to do when we put this together is show you all a timeline of how we come to where we're at.
Okay.
And that AI rendering is the more of a factual aesthetic and factual look of what the building is actually going to look like. Doors, lights, plant material, et cetera.
And colors.
Yes, sir.
And colors. So you're looking at the AI rendering, which is what you're identifying here,
yes,
which
sir.
It looks like white and
black trim and white.
With the black trim, and then you have the teak door or something on the left-hand side. Are all those colors and characteristics identified in the application?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so the application would reflect this AI rendering.
Maybe not. But that is what it's going to look like.
Okay, because one of the things we have to make sure, because again, our job is to approve all these exterior components, is to make sure that the application is in fact reflecting what we're viewing right here. You know, I can just speak for myself. I think this is attractive, but I would hate to see on the application that just says you've got green paint instead of white paint or something like that. So
and we took it from green to white.
Okay.
The green was awful, and it had holes in the wall. The green was good.
The existing structure had white siding. Is that correct?
The existing structure, we changed the siding way when we first bought the property, way back before this was in the historical district, because it had holes in it, and rodents and such were getting in there. So
you go into your
Really what we're looking at.
That's what it's going to look like.
Okay.
So that's what it looks like now.
I look up.
Yes, sir. That's just correct.
So you're not proposing any alteration?
No. No, sir.
No, if you look at the application, it's going to be stamped concrete and not asphalt.
I think it looks better.
I do too, but
it's not part of
this. Is it part of the historic
district? Everybody's got grass, gravel.
But it's a commercial building.
It is.
It won't be, I mean, I'm sure some people like this, but it's not going to be purple, pink, green, orange, red. And again, there's going to be no fluorescent signs. People are actually probably going to get mad that there's no sign over the door or over on the ceiling or on the roof. There's going to be a very simple sign, like a lot of residences and a lot of businesses that you see in Charleston and Savannah. It's going to be a very simple, small sign that's going to be next to the door.
Which is exterior lit?
Yes, sir. That's
okay.
Correct. If you didn't know what it was, you wouldn't know what it is.
Okay.
Which sounds kind of crazy, but people will find it.
Now, just out of curiosity, I don't see a problem with your lighting, but we do have a lighting ordinance. Mm-hmm. And so this doesn't look like it would be a problem, but you're going to keep the lighting low voltage, right?
Low voltage, mellow, not bright. We walked the property at night. There is a street light that is like a spotlight. But this is going to be so much dimmer and lower, almost like you see the lights at the end of a driveway that people will put out from Home Depot or Lowe's, that it's going to be very low voltage lighting.
You can always, if you grant the COA, make it subject to complying with all applicable code.
Right. Are there any more questions for the applicant?
Are your patrons going to park in front of those garage doors?
Well, because we're keeping it as a garage, we're using that as a driveway. I have a family member that has to use handicap accessibility. So we are basically making the whole thing continue to be a driveway. And in the event someone needs handicap accessibility, we are going to have that available for people. But there's street parking.
This will be a drive.
There's a
people can park
community here. Parking lot, two spaces down. And we even have Sean, the director of recreation for Curry Beach, approached us, and this has been about a year or two ago. And he, from what our understanding is, you all have a lot of weddings in the community center, which is our next door neighbor. And he said, okay, let's talk about this, because if we have weddings, then you can handle the reception. If we get a cut of the weddings that we send to you, and I said, let's do it. Let's make the city money, too.
Any questions? Okay, well, very good. We do have our staff recommendation. So unless there's any other questions,
thank you.
Let me make sure I am in order here, so I want to make sure.
Is Ms. White's name?
It is Ms. White's turn. Okay, I was looking for that. I figured that. Yes. Okay, the next item, next person to testify will be the Director of Development and Compliance, Ms. White, which will give us a report on the application.
Commercial district.
The proposed structure is designed to maintain the pedestrian experience of the district. If anything, I think it would improve upon it. I believe you have a sidewalk going in, ADA sidewalk going in, that's going to come down through the community center. So they'll probably just align right in it, so it'll actually be a better pedestrian area for that matter. There's no proposed commercially oriented architecture, which Tim talked about, no signs, arches, no labels or anything like that. E is not applicable, it's not on K Avenue. And for F, currently, I didn't get any proposed signage from what he told me. There wasn't going to be any signs. It still looks like there's not going to be any signs. If there's signs in the future, Tim knows it's got to come through me to be approved, at least administratively. If I didn't feel I could approve it administratively, I would have to bring it in front of the board once again. But for now, there's no proposed signage that I've seen. And in summary, the exterior features and scale of the proposed structure appear to be consistent and harmonious with the look and aesthetic existent now within the district. The only thing I can see that doesn't align 100% is the predominantly glass doors, but they are garage doors, which I really don't know if any other glass doors exist in the district, but I bet we could find some. And it's right next to the community center, which also has a predominantly glass frontage. So in my opinion, it seems to be harmonious and consistent with the rest of the district. One thing that was brought up was the delivery service. And I know there's something in the design standard. I didn't know anything about the delivery service, but no drive-through windows, no takeout areas. You guys can discuss on your own whether you feel that falls into that design standard. We obviously have other delivery services in the B1 district with our restaurants, so I don't see that as being an issue. Discussions. That's one thing you should probably kind of discuss. I know that came up in the last hearing you did of what was actually considered a takeout service and things like that. Should also discuss any exterior features, which you've already went over, fencing, hardscapes, exterior lighting, and the signs will be a big one, and if any accessory structures are added along the way. If the commission decides to approve the application, staff is suggesting the following conditions, along with whatever conditions the board wants to do. But condition one would be that the applicant receives prior to commencement of the work all other required permits, and all work must be compliant with all state and local codes and regulations. That any of the revisions or deviations to any portion of the as submitted work shall be submitted to the Department of Development and Compliance for review and approval prior to installation or construction. And that all aesthetic details and specifications for the following be provided to and approved by staff prior to installation or construction. Again, landscaping, hardscapes, fencing. I think you already have your gutters and downspouts on there, right? Those would be changed down the line. Exterior lighting, the signage is a big one. I feel like you're going to want to put a sign there eventually. accessory structures, if there's going to be any, and things like location of your garbage, if there's going to be a dumpster, you know, what that's going to be. That's going to be the important things that will change down the line with construction and that we need to be aware of as time goes on. And that's all I have. And is there any questions for me?
I've got one. Is parking requirements simply not applicable?
So the B1 district is not required to have parking, just like the restaurants that are in the downtown district already, unless you have a residential component to it. So anything with a residential component in the B1 district does have to provide parking. What's permitted usage in the B1 district, such as restaurants, bars, this mercantile tasting room, would not be required. So they can use free parking, the public parking lot next door.
Your reference to buffers in the discussion points, does the code require any buffers?
The code does require buffers when you abut to a residential area, which you have a residential structure right next to the north of the structure, and then also there are some across the street as well. In fact, the whole across the street is a residential district. You're supposed to have some sort of buffer. He's already proposed a fence, which I would think would be enough to be compliant with that.
And the location of the fence is?
The egress I put on there, and that is just because I know this has come up before. There's a lot of residential structures that are non-conforming to setbacks, and he's already aware that that we need to leave egress out of bedroom windows. So that'll be something that comes up along the way during construction. When his fence does go up, it cannot butt up to the property line in the rear of those bedrooms.
Does the AI addition change anything that you discussed?
It does not. It's what you're seeing in the AI rendition. The roof and the gutters are exactly the same as they are now. The white siding, it's hard to tell if there's more of it right now because the door is a lot smaller. But does it look like the door is going to get bigger, or is that just the AI rendition? Okay, so the door is going to remain the same. So it looks basically the same as it does now, honestly, except the only changes are the garage doors, the pavers in the front, and then the lighting. That would be really the only thing that's different here. The rear portion of it, I'm not even sure if that comes into play for our aesthetic features, but if it does, the rear just looks like a backyard, so I don't see it not fitting into the design standards. But this is the first rendition of the back that I've seen, so I can comment that in my staff report.
I did have one kind of question and perhaps a correction on the document that's Appendix B, 218 Building Code Summary for All Commercial Projects. If you go down to the very bottom, it says allowable height, and it has 65 feet.
Oh, yes.
It should be 35 feet.
We have already been through several different ones. We haven't gone through that plan review yet. So that Appendix B will likely change in a lot of ways, and it has already. And it has nothing to do with the aesthetic features or what this hearing is about today.
No, but I was wondering if that was just a mistype from 35 to 65.
It's a mistype.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Never intended to be 65.
No, I knew that, but if somebody sees that, they say, oh, I can build a 65, it is allowable. So
it's not changing its footprint or height.
Okay. Yeah, what's shown on the plans is 22 feet.
That was really the only thing that we had with the description of the outside of the building at the time. We didn't have these pictures, so we just submitted the first page of the. So that's why that's even in there. Nor, if I could have gotten something better, I wouldn't even put that in there to confuse you. I apologize for that.
Okay.
Yeah, all that is still to be reviewed, and yes, it will not be impacting that.
All right. Are there any more questions for Ms. White? Nope. All right. Well, thank you very much. And are there any other people who have standing that would like to speak on this? Okay. It gives an opportunity for the applicant to rebut any evidence or answer any of the issues that have been raised in the discussion. I don't know if you want to make any final comments or anything.
what you all have seen in the AI rendering is we're going to try to match that as close as possible. And again, being in design and both of us having renovated historic properties, we want to be cohesive with the neighbors, the neighborhood, and the surroundings, because we don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. So pretty much what that picture shows in the AI rendering is pretty much what it's going to look like. Bethany may think different, but we're not going to sign. We're going to have a little one next to the door, but I don't want to sign. I know that sounds weird, but people will find us. And it's going to be a very neighborhood, non-bar, non-restaurant. People will come to vacation here, but we're not looking to be their focal point of vacation happening.
You're going to have a bicycle rack?
Yes, sir, we are. And we're also, John suggested we're going to put in a charging station at the corner, but it'll have to be code. We'll have to get drawings. And we've considered putting that in for golf carts and cars. And then as far as the doors being on glass, we met with 3M, and the tinting on the windows, some of the tinting you can look at on commercial buildings is shining. This is a newer building, so it is not as shining, but we want to have a darker tinting for two reasons. The sun sets on that side of the building. In the afternoons and late afternoon, it will bake the interior of that building. So we want to have a dark tinting that is a matte finish that will block as much sunlight as possible. But we also, in the evening, if you're in there, and you'll be able to see out some, but we want to have somewhat privacy. You wouldn't be able to see, but we want somewhat privacy.
All right.
But thank you again.
Thank you. Okay. I have a question for our attorney. Do we close the hearing and have our discussion, or do we discuss before we close the hearing?
We're going to do findings of fact first, which I'll walk you through based on your worksheet that you've got.
Okay.
Then we'll close the hearing.
Before we do the findings of the facts, can we have a discussion? Is that?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
I mean, we can have a discussion about each one of the findings of facts, I guess.
Let me just do it and you'll see how it works. If you turn to your worksheet, you'll see the first item down is evidence. I'll take care of that when I do the decision. Findings of facts start right there, and you know that you can ask additional questions of anyone, including the participants, if you have a question that comes up while you're making your findings of fact. I've answered the first four. The subject property is located at, I've provided that information. The property is owned by the applicant, I've provided that information. It's located within the downtown residential overlay district. And number four, what the application seeks, the COA for, all that's done. Now, 5 through 15 are findings of fact with respect to whether the project complies with particular guidelines. These, one by one, these need to be voted on in terms of whether the compliance is there. I'll give you an example. Pretend I'm a member of the commission and I'm dealing with number five. I would make a motion. I move that the commission make a finding of fact that five, under 401A of the design standards, the proposed exterior features of the project are or are not. In making the motion, you would choose which of those words to use in the motion. So let's go ahead and deal with number five. If somebody can make a motion and
Well, this is kind of the question I have, because I find the AI rendition far more attractive than the other rendition. And so any motion that I would recommend would reference the AI rendition.
You're not referencing particular evidence.
I mean, that provides the colors, you know, I mean.
You can make the project conditioned.
That would be later on then, when you make it conditional. Okay. Well, then I will make a motion with kind of that understanding that that will be a condition that I'll propose later on.
And I think the applicant testified that they would use the AI.
They did, but I would still, you know, like to make certain about that. But again, I'm only one person, and the rest of the commission might not agree with
well,
me.
Well, we'll get to the condition when we do the conclusion. Right now, you're deciding whether the evidence presented shows that the proposed project does or does not.
Okay, well, that's fine. Given the evidence, which includes the IA rendition, I'll make a motion that under 4.1A of the design standards, the proposed exterior features of the project are consistent with the look and aesthetics of the exterior features existent within the district that further the town's character and appearance as a family-friendly, small-town coastal community that was primarily developed in the decades following the Second World War. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, this is where we have a discussion. Is there any discussion on that?
I think as long as it's based on the AI version, yes.
Okay.
For the next one, we have the discussion before the motion is made. You have the discussion that makes the motion.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
All right. Any further discussion on it? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, number.
Unanimous.
It is the unanimous, yes. Did anybody disagree with that? Okay.
Was he talking to me?
But I guess you weren't loud enough with your eye.
I heard that. I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it was unanimous.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you want to have a discussion on number six. The proposed exterior features do not or include inappropriate modernistic. So is there anybody who wants to talk about that, or shall we make a motion that it does not include inappropriate modernistic or expressionist architectural design elements?
I feel it does not include.
Okay. You want to make a motion? You want to read that and say do not include then?
Start right at the very beginning. Under 4.1A of the design standards, the project's proposed exterior features do not include inappropriate modernist or expressionist architectural design elements. Do I have a second on that? Or a motion?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Yes. All in favor say aye, and let's say it loudly.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let's look at number seven on page 2 out of 3 on the worksheet. Any discussions regarding the degree of consistency or harmoniousness with the other exterior features in the district? Okay, if not, I'll make the motion that under 4.1A of the design standards, the project proposed exterior features are consistent and harmonious with the other exterior features in the district in terms of scale and design. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we got a second. Any further discussions on that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, is there any discussion regarding the proposed colors? And again, here I would reference the AI, because that's got the proposed colors that were presented.
My only comment is about the fence color. That I think if they are going to go with what it needs to be, a gray rather than the color that's in the documents.
Okay, so the proposed colors for the fence were gray. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So with that reference, I'll make the motion under 4.1B of the design standards. The proposed colors of the project's exterior features are consistent and harmonious with the district's neighborhood. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, number 9, any discussion regarding the facade? Nope. Okay, I guess I'll go ahead and make the motion under Form 1C of design standards. The project's proposed building facade is simple and does not consist of multiple sizes.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion of facades? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Number 10, regarding normal scale. Any discussions on the scale of the project? Okay, would somebody like to make a motion on that?
I'll second that motion.
We haven't made it yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You want to make it?
I'll make a motion. You want to read that one?
That's number 10.
Under 4.1D of the design standards, the proposed design features of the project, including windows and doors, are normal scale.
I'll second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any discussions regarding single architectural feature, number 11, in the worksheet? Hearing none, would somebody like to make a motion? I'm looking to my left. We haven't had a lot of activity down there.
Sure, I make a motion under 4.1D of the design standards. The proposed exterior features of the project are not dominated by any single architectural feature.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next one has to do with special character in terms of height, form, size, scale, proportion, architectural style, and roof shapes. So this is an architectural scale issue also. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, I'll make a motion that under 4.2A of the design standards, the project is designed with architectural scale that is consistent and harmonious with surrounding buildings and structures that contribute to the district's special character in terms of height, form, size, scale, proportion, architectural style, and roof shapes. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Somebody like to do number 13, having to do with the unique character and the pedestrian experience.
I'll do that one. Under 4.2B of the design standards, the project is designed so that pedestrians' experience of the district's unique character is maintained.
I'll second. Any further discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item is no drive-through, curbside, or takeout operational services. Before I make a motion on this, this has to do with what Ms. White was talking about, I believe, in our prior one, that this does not refer to
deliveries,
right, that we're talking about windows and drive-throughs and that sort of thing. Okay. With that in mind, I'll say that under 4.2C of the design standards, the project does not propose to use any drive-through, curbside, or takeout operational services. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Last one has to do with the Golden Arches. Okay. Any further discussion about Golden Arches? Okay, somebody would like to make a motion on the last one?
I make a motion that under 4.2D of the design standards, the project does not include any commercially oriented architectural features such as golden arches and so forth.
I'll second. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chairman, I'd ask you to close the hearing now.
Okay, I'll make a motion to close the hearing. Is there a second for closing the hearing?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the hearing is now closed.
The conclusions are based on findings of fact. The first three are pretty automatic. I'll go through them. As the owner of the property, the applicant has standing to apply for the COA. Under JDC 1508080C, the commission shall hear and decide COA application at conclusion is set forth in the code. Number three, the commission shall grant the COA if the proposed exterior features comply with the applicable design standards. If you turn the page, conclusion number four is by motion and majority vote. The project's proposed exterior features do or do not comply with the design standards.
Okay, and what time do we put the subject to?
When we have to
Okay. Well, then I'll make a motion that the project's proposed exterior features do comply with the design standards. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Now, two more steps. First step is to, by majority vote, make a motion as to whether to grant the COA based on the findings of fact and the conclusion.
Okay. And then after that, we do it subject to conditions. Okay. So, based upon the above findings of fact and conclusion, by majority vote on the motion made, the commission's decision is to approve the application of the COA. Does that need to be voted on?
Approve or approve with conditions.
Okay, to approve with conditions, the COA. Is there a second to that? And then we'll talk about the conditions.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we talk about the conditions. Let me find the report again.
Well, this one, sir.
Okay, so I'll take this. Okay, we have our staff's recommendation, Ms. White's recommendation, that our approval contain the following conditions. That the applicant receives prior to commencement of the work all other required permits, and all work must be compliant with the state and local codes and regulations. That any revisions or deviations to any portion of as submitted work shall be submitted to the Department of Development and Compliance for review and approval prior to installation and or construction. That all aesthetic details and specifications for the following be provided to and approved by staff following to installation or construction. This includes landscaping, hardscapes, fencing, gutters and downspouts, exterior lighting, signage, accessory structures, if any, location of garbage dumpsters. And then I would like to add two additional conditions. One is that the exterior paint and designs.
Let's say the exterior features.
The exterior features are as presented in the presentation by the AI rendering. And that the fence.
The AI rendering in Exhibit 2.
In Exhibit 2. Okay. And that the fence be gray in.
No, it's,
sorry.
That's a different exhibit that had the original one in Exhibit 2. Yeah. Don't you want Exhibit 7 or something?
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. This is Exhibit 7. Yeah, okay. That's a good point. So we're referring to Exhibit 7. And I'm not sure how to identify the AI rendering showing white color, dark roof, teak colored entry door, glass, garage doors, and five exterior lights. So that's what we're referring to when we talk about the design features.
Picture number 10.
Okay. And then somebody also had a recommendation about the fence.
The recommendation was that, you know, wood fence is fine as long as it's a color that matches the neighborhood, which is preferred. You know, we prefer gray than the color that's in the picture.
Okay. So we've got those two additional conditions in addition to the conditions recommended by Ms. White. Are there any other conditions that anybody would like to discuss or add to the approval? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to approve subject to those identified conditions? I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. And I believe now we make a vote to reopen. Well, let me go back to the agenda, make sure we're done with our agenda here.
You already closed the hearing, you're going to make an motion to close the meeting.
No, that's what I want to do. Do we need to reopen the hearing to close the meeting?
No, the hearing is complete.
Okay. So the hearing is complete. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are done. Oh, I get to bow my... Hopefully I was efficient in that.